Good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. I would invite you to open your Bibles to James chapter 3. That's where the majority of our lesson this morning will take place, in James chapter 3. It's great to have our visitors with us today. Thankful that you're here. We do have a birthday we get to celebrate this week. Kim Melvin has a birthday tomorrow, so make sure that you wish her a happy birthday for tomorrow. This morning I want you to think back, come to the close of another year. We think about perhaps that reflection and things that we have accomplished this year, things perhaps that we would like to have gone better for us, or things that we will be focused on going into the next year, and making sure that, you know, especially as Christians, that our lives are lived in accordance with what God would have us to do. And I've titled this morning's lesson, Prove It. And here in James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, we see that idea. James here, beginning in verse 13 of James 3, says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and evil thing and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Now there's a couple of characteristics here that James brings out, that if you go to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus brought out in the Sermon on the Mount. And thinking about this way in which we live our lives, this way that, as we saw here in James 3, that James would go into making sure, first of all, that who's wise and understanding? Well, means that I have a responsibility, that God is counting on me. And I think about this in context with the Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew chapter 5. Notice here the words of Jesus as he begins in verse number 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I think specifically about a couple here. You look at verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That meekness that we are to demonstrate and to display, that meekness that James was writing about here in verse number 13 of James chapter 3. You think about that meekness. It is strength under control. It is not weak. It is not cowardly. It is not to cow down to others. But instead, it is knowing who you are, where your faith is placed. And it's knowing that it doesn't make any difference what anybody else would do to us. It's knowing who God is and how powerful He truly is. Standing in Him, the knowledge and wisdom that we have. There are times when I look back on my life and I've gone through perhaps what you might call the school of hard knocks. That took me time to understand things and to get things. And especially took time for me not to be stubborn, just do things my way. But realizing and understanding that when I do them God's way, that good things happen. Great things are able to be seen. When I think about the way that I live my life, is it in meekness? Is it that strength under control? Or do I have to be right in everything that I do and everything that I say? Do I always have to be right? I'll tell myself, because it's easier to tell myself. There are times when I just want to be right. And it's over the dumbest little things, the piddliest little things, that they don't amount to a hill of beans. But I've got to be right. I got to make sure that I've proven my point. There are people that we used to call telephone tough guys. They used to call when I worked at Lowe's, and I was that manager a lot of times that got to deal with a bitter or angry customer. People will yell and scream and cuss you out and call you names and everything else over the phone. But you know, when you invite them into the store, they are the nicest. And I always think, I'm always set for that guy that I've talked to on the phone, right? My face, I know, is hardened the moment that I hear that name because of the way that I was treated, the way that I was talked to. And so I walk out there, hey, how are you, sir? That's what they say to me. I'm like, great, how are you? And we can talk. You know, we work things through pretty fast. You know, I often think about that in our way with people around us and talking to them about God. We get so hard-nosed and stubborn that I've just got to be right. Or can we have that assurance of leaning on God's word, of knowing I know where I stand based on Scripture, not my opinion? And that's what I would like to share with you, to help you understand what God would have you to do to be right with Him. Blessed are those peacemakers. You go down and look at verse number 9 there. They should be called sons of God. Peacemaker. I desire peace. I will tell you that I am not somebody who looks for confrontation. I don't avoid it. I used to. It give me a knot in my stomach. But I'm telling you, when it comes to God's word, we don't need to avoid. We certainly don't need to cow down. We can do so with meekness. That strength under control. I don't need to raise my voice. I don't need to shout somebody down. I know who I believe in. I know where my faith is placed. If you go back to James chapter 3, I want you to notice and think about these characteristics in your life. If I'm wise and have that understanding there in verse 13, it's demonstrated in good conduct, the way that my life is lived. I don't have to tell you I'm a Christian. My life should have already said it. You should be able to see that in me. I show through good conduct that my works are done in meekness and wisdom, knowing what God has done in my life, knowing who God is and my faith being placed in Him, that I can demonstrate and show those things. If you look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And you think about these words as Paul writes to the church at Corinth. And he has talked about these spiritual gifts and the things that happen. In verse 15 he says, what is the conclusion then? I'll pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place to be uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. You know, there were those who put their, at this time, you had all these spiritual gifts. They were for the miraculous age, which is past. Paul says, I just want you to have understanding. I would much rather speak 5 words and you know exactly what I say than 10,000 words to show off and tell you how great I am. I want to do things so that the understanding of the Word of God comes out. I want you to have an understanding of what your life is to look like. Paul says, I want to do so. Have that wisdom. Have that understanding. James, if you go back to James chapter 1, James talks about this wisdom and the fact that it comes from God. So in order for me to have this meekness with wisdom, notice what he says. Beginning here in verse number 5 of James 1, James writes, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You see that? Not some of his ways, all of his ways. Wisdom comes from above. If you go back to chapter 3, James says the same thing over again. This wisdom and understanding come from the Word of God. Why is that such a big deal? Because when I think about my conduct and what it is to look like, it can't be what verse 14 begins to describe. He says, but if you have bitter envy, self-seeking. Now I'm in it for me. What's in it for me? Oftentimes, that's the type of attitude that we see demonstrated and displayed. And unfortunately, I'll tell you that in my life, I've demonstrated that same thing. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? How's it going to benefit me? I didn't care if it benefited you. I don't care if it was the best thing for you. If it didn't benefit me, was it worth it? Well, I didn't think so. James says otherwise. If I have bitter envy, self-seeking in my heart, that selfish ambition in my heart, he said, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom that is self-seeking, what's in it for me, does not come from above. It's earthly, sensual, demonic. That's the way that James describes it. Earthly, sensual, demonic. Doesn't come from above. Who do the demons serve? Well, the devil. That's where it comes from. So if I'm thinking about me and what's best for me and what's in it for me, I'm not thinking about anybody else. Instead, I don't have meekness. I certainly don't have wisdom. I'm all about, even if I have to lie to be able to get it, I don't care. That's all that I want. He goes on to describe in verse 16, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. Every evil thing. Meaning that no longer do I even desire to be godly in any way, shape, or form. We talked this morning in our Bible class, there in Genesis chapter 6, beginning about verse 5, that the fact that there, every thought and every intent of the hearts of man was only evil continually. It's all they desired, all they wanted. You know, when I'm self-seeking and going after what's in it for me, it's only evil. I don't care about you. I don't care about anybody else. James says, I can't live that way. I've got to look out for others. And I think about this as you look back on this past year. What did people see in me? Especially I think about my church family. What did you see in me? What did you see in my conduct? What did you see in the way that I lived my life? Not just in the way I preached or taught Bible classes. What did you see in my life outside of here? Was it all about me? Or was I looking for opportunities to be able to help you grow and get stronger? Looking for ways to be able to talk to those around us in the community to help them know and understand what God would have them to do to be right with Him? What are we looking for? What was I looking for? Perhaps you think about you for a moment. That meekness. Were you looking to just have arguments with people, shout people down? Did you get on social media and then become one of those keyboard bullies where you got to shout people down? I've been there, done those things too. You know what that gains? Nothing. Nothing. I've never seen anything be gained by that. Getting people to try to change religious or political views. How's that work over a keyboard? Really good, right? Doesn't accomplish anything. But you know, if we can have those conversations, we can talk and get into the Word of God. Oh, it's incredible. It begins to show it the change, not only in the people that we talk to, but it also shows the difference in the change in you and me personally. Because what I find is that, oh, I long to get into here so I can have those discussions and help them understand. Because it's not about me. It's about helping them get to heaven. You see how that changes? No longer am I after any selfish ambition. I'm after whatever would help that person get to heaven. It's all I want for them. Not according to what I think, but according to what God has to say. Everything changes when we put everybody else around us first. You think about this, this attitude. Go to Galatians chapter 5 for just a second. And we see again these same type of contrasts that Paul gives here to the churches of Galatia. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, meaning clearly seen, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to be in the church because they're not going to seek after God. They're not going to be in heaven. But I love it when we get to see this contrast that begins here in verse 22. But. So in contrast to all of these works of the flesh that are evident, clearly seen, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, excuse me, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You mean I can demonstrate those all day long and nobody's going to get upset? That's exactly right. I can demonstrate those and be pleasing to God at all times. The other things are displeasing, meaning you won't go to heaven. But if I demonstrate that those things that are contrast to the works of the flesh, if I demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, patience, it's not always easy, is it? To be patient with those around us, to be patient with those that we come into contact with, not always easy. We're called to do so. It's what God would always have us to do, to be right with Him. Go back to James chapter 3. I want you to think about this. Along with the fruit of the Spirit, if that's what I'm demonstrating, if that's what's being seen in my life every day, if that's what those around me are being able to see and understand, that this is what pleases God, this is what God is proud of or looks for in those people who would call themselves Christians, His children. Notice verse 17 of James 3. But that the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You see how that's contrasted by the fruit of the Spirit compared to the works of the flesh? The same thing here. When we are doing the fruit of the Spirit, practicing those godly characteristics, we're in contrast to the things of the world. We demonstrate the wisdom that comes from God, the things that we have prayed for, the things we have asked God for, the things that God has allowed us to be able to understand and know so that we can show them to others. That's the wisdom, and it's first pure, undefiled. This is an uncharacteristically warm December, right? You may say, well, Corey, that's about to change. Yes. This afternoon, that's going to change. It's going to be cold. We're going to go back to winter. That's okay, because it's December. We've actually gotten some yard work done, planted some plants. It's really weird to plant them in December, and you may say, well, they're going to die, Corey. They might. It'll be okay. But we've gotten to do some things outside. Dalton yesterday decided it was a good day to go for a run. I didn't think so. I didn't run, but he did. He got out in the yard. He said, I made 5 laps, Dad, around our fence line. It was great. Got out and ran. Went inside, super thirsty. Gets himself a cup of water. I say, you feel better now? Oh, man, that water is the best, Dad. It is the best. I watched him sweat into that cup. And he still drank it. I don't know if he knows that it's sweat in that cup or not. But he did, and he drank it. You suppose that water was pure? No, it's defiled. It's disgusting. He drank it. And it tasted great to him. That's just fine. But I think about this wisdom. This wisdom that comes from God is pure, undefiled. Nobody would look at that and say, well, that's disgusting. That's gross. No, it's pure. It has no defilement. I can show it all day long and help people to understand. It's peaceable. It's gentle. Notice then it's willing to yield. So I'm no longer demonstrating these selfish ambitions. I don't have a selfish streak any longer. I'm willing to yield. This is that peace that comes. Now, I'm not yielding on things that are going to help people get to heaven. But I'm willing to yield, and I don't have to shout somebody down in order to be right. We can have a conversation. We can talk things through. You see, if I'm talking those things through, I'm helping people to see and understand, I demonstrate those good fruits, and I do so without partiality, and I do so without hypocrisy. Nobody looks at me to say, you only talk to them because of this quality or this feature or whatever about them. That's the only reason you talk to them. Nobody else is looking at me saying, hey, you say this, but you live like this. They're able to say those things, that I live a different way. And what they're hearing are my words and not my actions. All of these things that James is writing about are the actions that we demonstrate. Not what I say, what I do. I prove it. I demonstrate it. I show it. You know that fruit of righteousness is sown in peace there in verse number 18? By those who make peace. Because that's what I desire. I desire to have first and foremost peace with God. So I'm going to live my life to be right with Him. And when I live my life to be right with Him, then my life is right with everybody else around me. Because all I seek and desire to do is be right with God. I don't have to shout you down. I don't have to be right. I want to be right with God. When I have that peace with God, then that peace is shared with everyone. Because what they get to see in me are godly characteristics, godly actions. Things that show and prove all I want is the best for them. That's what people get to see in me. No more hypocrisy. Nothing else that stands out to show anything except that all I desire is to be right with God. I would ask you this morning to think about you for a second. What do you desire from God? What does He see from you? You know, John in 1 John chapter 2, beginning there about verse 9, he talks about a hatred that we have for our brethren. He calls us hypocrites and says that if I say I love God but hate my brother, I lie and don't practice the truth. My life, my words and my actions have to match up. And when all I'm doing is seeking to be right with God and proving that, everybody else around me benefits, including myself. You know, it's funny, when I demonstrate those godly characteristics, those godly attributes, what I find is that there is ready for me a place that God has prepared for those who would love Him and serve Him and follow after Him. There's a place called heaven. We get to live there for all eternity. I want you to think about you for a second this morning. If your life was to end today, where would you spend eternity? It's one of two places. Go to heaven to be with God or hell to be separated from Him for all eternity. No light, no goodness, no nothing. Darkness, despair, anger, wailing and gnashing of teeth. Heaven, no sorrow, no pain, no tears. God is the light. And we get to celebrate, we get to rejoice, we get to worship Him for all eternity. Why would we want to do anything else but to live our life in accordance with His will? Maybe perhaps this morning you're here, you're not yet a child of God. My faith won't save you. Your faith has to be your own. In Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing the word of God, not the word of Corey, the word of God. It causes you to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus says, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. So we have to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. It leads to something. In 2 Corinthians 7 verses 9 through 11, we have godly sorrow leading to repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. The sorrow of the world produces death. So I can have one of two types of sorrow. I can have godly sorrow or worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow says, I'm sorry I ever did those things, and I'm going to live my life now to be right with You for all eternity. I'm going to change who I am. Worldly sorrow says, I'm sorry I got caught, and I'll do better next time to get that by somebody. Having that godly sorrow produces repentance. There's the change that occurs. where I changed my life. I changed the way that I think. I changed then my actions. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30. Luke writes, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." All men everywhere, leaves nobody out. So all of us have to repent of those things that we've done that were contrary to what God would have us to do. We change those things to live for Him. It causes us to be willing then to confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Jesus said, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven." I can think of nothing greater. Verse 33 is terrifying. Jesus continues, He says, "If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven." Nothing more terrifying than that. So let's live in a way that Jesus would confess us, being willing to confess Him, not just in what we say, but also in action, in our lives, in living for Him every day. When I want to live for Him, please Him, I'm going to submit to His will and His authority. This is where baptism comes in. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter is answering a question asked in verse 37. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus." There's by His authority. Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what you receive. It happens at baptism. It's where my sins are washed away, Revelation 1 and verse number 5, because they've come into contact with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You see, there are a lot of people who desire to be clean. I hate dishes and I hate laundry. I see dishes pile up and laundry pile up, and I want them to be clean. Not like nothing else. I want them to be clean. Are they? Not until I wash them. So I can desire to be as clean as I want, but until I come into contact with the blood of Jesus, I'm not clean. Baptism washes away our sins. Colossians 2 verses 11 and 12, specifically verse 12, says it's the working of God, not the working of man. For He removes our sin and washes it away. We rise to walk in newness of life. My responsibility has just started. My walk with Him has just started, and it is, as Jesus says in Revelation 2, the last sentence of verse 10, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." There's my responsibility, to live my life faithful to Him unto death. My life is His. Luke 9:23, Jesus says, "Anyone who desires to follow after me must take up his cross daily and follow Him." We deny ourselves following Him. Is that what you've done to become a child of God? Perhaps this morning, as a child of God, you think about your life and there are things that need to change. Gotten to be self-pleasing. Gotten back into what's in it for me, instead of looking to help others to be able to go to heaven, be right with God. If there are changes that you need to make in your life, and if there's anything we can do to help you this morning, we'd ask you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.